May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it has been quite a week around here. If you happen to come into church today through the parish house doors, then you will see that we're doing some much needed repair work over that corner of the building. It's amazing what you can find, or actually what you can find missing, when you take some old clapboards off and discover the rot and the deterioration that's been accumulating over some years. But it's being tended to. It should be done by next week, and that repair will be taken care of. But also, if you've not heard the news, last Sunday we had quite a bit of a scare, and in fact were spared a great misfortune. It was around noon when everyone had left, just after everyone had left, when no one, fortunately, was standing out on the front steps, when a large wooden cross that's been hanging over those steps for 50 to 60 years came crashing to the ground. There was some damage to a car, but thanks be to God, no one was out there. So to me at least, it feels like it's been a little bit of a construction zone around here this week. And in fact, as one person wrote after reading about this in News and Notes, he wondered if it might be a good idea to bring a football helmet to church this Sunday. Perhaps a hard hat. Now, you'll notice I did not ask Rosemary to hand out hard hats as you came in the door today. And frankly, we're mistaken if we believe that somehow God will prevent any harm from ever coming our way. We live in a world where God supports us, but where accidents happen, where we face the hardships of life. William Sloan Coffin, the longtime pastor of Riverside Church, in a oft-quoted sermon that he preached after his 23-year-old son died in a car accident, said that his understanding was that God gives all of us minimum protection, but maximum support. And God indeed does. Still, perhaps hard hats are not such a bad idea. That note I received by of a well-known quotation by Annie Dillard from her book Teaching a Stone to Talk. She was commenting upon what it is that we are about when we gather in a place to worship God. And she was writing to ask us if we're really aware of what it is that we're about. She said this. She said, "On the whole, I do not find Christians outside of the catacombs sufficiently sensible of conditions. Does anyone have the foggiest idea what sort of power we so blithely invoke? Or, as I suspect, does no one believe a word of it?" She goes on to say, "It is madness to wear ladies' straw hats and velvet hats to church. We should all be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should issue life preservers and signal flares. They should lash us to our pews. For the sleeping God may wake one day and take offense, or the waking God may draw us out to where we can never return. The waking God may draw us out to where we can never return." We heard the story today about a people, the people of God, the community of Israel, who knew well God's might and power. They had seen God liberate them from the bondage of slavery in Egypt. They had seen God lead them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They had seen the power of God that set apart the waters of the Red Sea so they could walk across to freedom in dry land. And yet today, we hear them complaining. Apparently, this God is not powerful enough. For they are hungry, they are tired, and they are hot. like we are today, probably hotter than we are today, complaining bitterly in the wilderness. God had drawn them out to a place that they could never return to. I have a feeling that that's ultimately what the murmuring was about. That's what the complaining was about. The result of their liberation from Egypt was not just human freedom, but also the establishment of a relationship, a covenant with God. Yes, this was a God who would minister to them in their need, who would provide them with the daily sustenance of bread, but this was also a God who was calling them to be a people, to be shaped as God's community in the world, as God's witness in the world. And they would learn that to be God's people was not only a blessing, but a challenge. It would be always to be aware of the neediest in their midst, the widow, the orphan, the foreigner, and the alien. To be drawn out to a place to which they could not return to their old life. The Jesuits have a program for young adults that's called the Jesuit Volunteer Corps. It's a little bit like the Peace Corps, where young persons just out of college commit to a 2-year time period in which they're living in community with other members of this corps. They often work in this country or at Jesuit missions abroad in impoverished areas, and they're guided by 4 values: community, spirituality, simplicity, and social justice. A few go on to become Jesuits themselves, but most go on to have secular careers of one sort or another. But there's a phrase, half humorous and half ironic, that persons use to describe their experience in this program. It's said that once you are a Jesuit volunteer, you're ruined for life. Imagine starting off on an internship after college so that you can be ruined for life. Living intently the gospel values of Jesus Christ for 2 years in a focused and dedicated and sacrificial way. It will shape the rest of your life. And it may just ruin it if the goals you had set for yourself were inconsistent with the gospel that is proclaimed by Jesus Christ. Life would be easier without the demands of that gospel being planted in your heart as you come to maturity. But such a life would also be profoundly impoverished. You know, last Sunday afternoon, I spent a fair amount of time as I was giving thanks that no one was hurt in that accident, just seeing your faces going through my brain, but also my heart, in such gratitude that no one of us was standing out there. But as the week went on, I realized this. Why isn't my gratitude as profound every Sunday? Because the fact is, every Sunday, I am brought together with you, you are brought together with me, and we are brought together into the presence of the God who calls us out on journeys to serve and to love and to forgive in this world. And the fact of the matter is that every Sunday, we mortals here are given the bread of angels to eat. As we come into God's presence, as we hear God's word, as we are fed at God's table, and as we are empowered to go forth and to serve. We serve a God who calls us. We serve a God who hears our praise, who hears our complaints, and who promises to sustain us on our way. So, no hard hats at the door. But maybe we should be putting signs up around here saying this is a construction zone. Because work is going on. It is the work of God in us, creating and forming a community, shaping and making a people in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. It is the work of being built up in love. So dress accordingly. Amen.